Well, good morning. Welcome to Intercity Baptist Church. It's my joy today to open God's Word with you. Thinking about some tough jobs that you may have had over the course of your life, you know, what's some of the tough jobs you've had? I know my life has probably been pretty soft, and my tough jobs might not compare at all to your tough jobs. I was thinking about some of them, and I kind of go back to years ago when I was a teenager. They hired me and a couple of my friends to pass out pizza flyers to all the homes in this area. And we saw it as a great opportunity to make a few bucks. And we did the math, 10,000 homes by four of us, 2,500. We can do that in about an hour. So that's good. We'll make easy money. Well, we got into it, and it takes a long time to pass out 10,000 flyers to homes. And I won't tell you who, but somebody started passing out four and five to one home. And all was going well until that person who got about 10 at their home called the pizza place that hired us and said, just want you to know that your guys who are passing out flyers gave me 10 at our home. And that's probably not what you paid for. So we had to redo all 10,000 flyers. We were calling in troops, and we were out late that night. And I'll never forget, that was one of those jobs that you said, yeah, we'll do it. And it just didn't work out the way we thought it would. But we ended up finishing the job. But that was a tough job. Well, you say, well, Tracy, that's silly. I've got many tougher jobs than that, and I'm sure you have, and I faced a few of those myself. But this morning, I just wonder, what's the toughest job you've had? And really, the second question would be, what is it right now that is some sort of spiritual undertaking that you've sensed is God's will for your life and is a tough job? You know, what is that tough job that you know is God's will, but it's just tough, and you're kind of holding back on it? You know, for me, there's tough jobs like that. Standing in front of you might be one of those tough jobs that I enjoy and yet bring some level of apprehension. Probably one of those is when I have to come alongside somebody who's not doing what's right, that seems to not doing what's right, and encourage them from God's Word. And in many ways, I've failed to confront and encourage in that way, because it's a tough job, and it doesn't excuse it. I'm wrong for not doing that, and yet it's just one of those tough jobs that God wants us to do. It's His will, but sometimes we just don't do it. What's your tough job? What is it this morning that you're sitting here thinking, I know God has given me this job to do it. It may be in the church, in the context of our church. It may be you're now the new fifth grade boy Sunday school teacher, and you wonder why in the world you ever said yes, and you're afraid of that. Maybe it's, you know, you have a new assignment somewhere, and you're concerned about if you can really do that job. Maybe it's around your home, and God's made you a husband or a wife, and you know that's a commitment. And it's a tough standard to fit Christ in that role. Maybe it's a parent. You got that little bundle of joy and you think, oh my, this is a tough job. How am I ever going to do this for God's glory and the good of this young child? Maybe it's in the community. Maybe there's something that you have sensed is God put on your heart and you want to do for His glory and for the good of those around you. And you sense it's God's will, but you're just not sure if you have the strength and the courage to do that. For some, it's just, I've got a test tomorrow in English class, and I got to pass that thing, and I don't know if I can do it. Wherever it is for you, what is the tough task that is God's will for you that maybe this morning you are sensing that you don't know if you have the strength and the courage to fulfill that task? You know, if that's you this morning, and I think it may be some of us, if that's you this morning, in the few minutes that we have together, I think God would want to have a word with you. Because there's hope for you this morning. If you're somebody who says, I need courage and I need strength to do God's will in my life, and there's hope, there's encouragement, I think God has a word for you. Before we look at the text, let me give you a little bit of history, though. In Genesis 12, God made a promise to Abraham. And he said to Abraham, I'll make a people and I'll give you a place. And God made that promise to Abraham, and God took Abraham and showed him that way. And then, if you know the story of the book of Genesis, God, through the patriarchs and through his providential work, took the people in Genesis down to Egypt. And in Egypt, in Exodus 3, we see them in bondage in Egypt. And there's a wonder of where's the land? Where's the place? And yet God provided a man. And we learn of that man in Exodus. In Exodus 3, God reiterates a promise. And he says, I'll give you the land. And he says, Moses, I'll be with you. I'll be with you, Moses. I will help you to accomplish my will for these people. In Genesis 12 and Exodus 3, the command is reiterated. Which then brings us, we see what God does through Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. And Moses is God's man. He's the man. Imagine he takes the people from Egypt. God is helping him. God is enabling him. And God, through Moses, performs amazing miracles, delivers God's people, marches them through a river, through a river, the Red Sea, and it's split, and they walk across on dry ground, and then the water comes down and buries all the Egyptians. And it's an amazing display of God's mercy and grace through Moses. And Moses leads these people for all these years. And then through Moses' disobedience, God says, you can't go in the land, Moses. The land I promised, you can see it, but you're not going to be able to go into the land, Moses. And so God takes Moses and shows him the land and takes Moses to be with him. And now what? And now the people are expecting to go into the land. They're on the verge of this land. And God provides another man. And his name is Joshua. And Joshua stands leading these people to the place that God had promised. And what was Joshua thinking? Oh my. How can I do this, God? I need strength. I need courage to do your will, to lead these people to do your will. God, will you help me? In the passage that we're going to look at this morning, we see that God gives strength and courage to do his will. God gives strength and courage. He'll keep his promise. All those years before, he promised that he would bring them to the land, and God is going to fulfill his promise, at least here at this point in Joshua 1. And I want you to understand this morning, that God gives strength and courage to do his will. But the question you have is to say, well, Tracy, how? How does God do that? I need it, but how does God give strength and courage to do his will? Well, I think a passage that God gives us in Joshua 1, if you turn there with me, we see how God does this for his servant. Joshua found himself needing God's strength and courage to do God's will, to lead these people and to do God's will. And this morning, the passage we look at is illustrative of how God works in the lives of those who do his will. And this morning, may we receive encouragement and strength as we seek to do God's will in the passage that we'll look at here this morning. The Old Testament book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. Once you find your place there, if you just hold it for a second, and would you think with me for a second? In what way are you seeking to do God's will today? You may be facing a huge trial. You know, I think about our congregation over the past year and think about the many turns in the road that have come in the lives of folks in our congregation over the past year or two. Some of you are here today thinking that a spouse would be right here with you, and yet in the turn in the road that God has, they're home and facing illness or maybe not even here on earth anymore. And you wonder, how am I going to do God's will? Maybe you're facing a huge trial. Maybe it's in your finances. Maybe it's in a relationship. But it's some sort of huge trial. Maybe it's a significant task. We talk about parenting and marriage, ministry. Maybe it's just a critical test. I mean, this is a critical test of your allegiance to Christ. And in your heart, there may be a temptation in your heart right now that is seeking to undermine your commitment to Christ. And you know in your mind, you know you ought to do the right thing. But your heart seems to be so entangled that it is a critical test of your allegiance to Christ. Will you serve God? Will you value what is eternal? Or will you succumb to that temptation, whatever it is? And this morning, if you need strength and courage, then the lesson is for you. Question? How? How can we have God's strength and courage? Answer, Joshua chapter 1. Let's look at Joshua 1. It says this, Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, and we'll look at what he says, but don't rush over that. I mean, Moses was the man. I mean, he was one of the esteemed leaders of God's people. He's the one they had looked to for this whole generation, and he is now dead. And God says, Moses, my servant, is dead now. Therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you. Just as I spoke to Moses from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even as far to the river, great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, so far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In these 9 verses, which then continue later, where God addresses the people and through Joshua addresses the people, really help us to see how God gives strength, spiritual strength and courage to those who do His will. Well, if you want to do God's will, then God gives courage and strength. First of all, when you embrace God's promise. When you embrace God's promise. You see, in this passage, in what we've read, you see the promise of God come back over and over again. What verses in what we read show us God's promise? Could you take your finger and point to a verse that shows us the promise of God? Well, your finger might be going up and down the text, right? Because you see in verse number 2, the promise of God, right? Verse number 3, the promise of God. Verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, verse 9 says, do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. There's a promise there in those verses. And this morning, if you want spiritual strength and courage, God says, I will provide it by my grace and for my glory. I'll provide it as you embrace my promise in your life. For these people, in this text, it was a promise of a land. It was a promise that God had given many, many, many years ago, centuries and centuries ago. God had made a promise. And God is telling Joshua that I will keep my promise. Aren't you so glad this morning that God keeps His promises? God keeps His promises. And this passage helps us to see that the God that we serve keeps His promise. The promise of God is huge here. That's what's front and center as God speaks to Joshua. And the power of this is in the one who makes the promise. Right? Who's the one making the promise? God. You know, when I was a kid, my parents taught us a simple prayer: God is great, God is good, and we thank Him for our food. And you know, that's not a truth that we should ever get past, really, is it? That God is great and that God is good. I can remember when one of our children were young and we'd go to a hotel with a pool. One of them wouldn't jump off the side of the pool into the water. It just didn't know that that would work well. So they would hang on to the side and they wouldn't jump into the water. What would I do as a loving dad to help my child? Not push. Yeah, that's what Pastor Dorn would do. He'd push, right? Remember, I'm the love guy around here, all right? So I'd be down in the water with my arms out, and I'd say, jump, jump, I'll catch you. In my child's mind, as a young child, what are they processing as they're seeing their dad in the water? They're thinking two things, right? Is he good? And is he able? Right? Is he able to catch me? And is he good? Or is he mean? Will he just let me go just to kind of have a laugh? Right? And you know, this morning as we look at this passage, God is reminding Joshua that I am good and I am able. And you can trust me. I promised it a long time ago, and I'm going to keep my word. And the promise is huge here. It's huge because of the one who makes the promise. It's God Himself. God is great. God is good. Can you think of somebody who lived before this passage, who thought about the promise of God and acted based on the promise of God? I see some of you nod your heads. Some of you may be sleeping already, but I don't think that's why you're nodding your head. You're thinking about somebody, aren't you? You're probably thinking about maybe Abraham and maybe somebody else. God says to Abraham, take your son and offer him. And Abraham, it's not making sense, but he says, I'm going to trust God because God promised a people and he promised a place. And I'm just going to trust God. And we see here in this book, as Joshua faced a huge task, to accomplish God's will, His certain will, His promised will, that Joshua needed strength, he needed courage, he needed the ability and the commitment to act in the face of opposition. And God says, I'll give you my grace, I'll give you strength, and I'll give you courage. First of all, you have to embrace my promise. Embrace it. Hold on to it. And act based on my promise. Well, for you, it's not a land. It's not a people. But what is it that God is asking you to do? What is it that God's put on your heart to do for Him, for His glory, the advancement of the church? Again, maybe it's in your home. Maybe it's in your workplace. Maybe it's in your community. But something that God is asking you to do. It's His will. And yet you seem to maybe not have the strength and courage that you need. Well, let me ask you this. What has God promised you? What are the certain promises for you? Well, I'd say a couple of them, and you could actually, you know, we could dialogue if we wanted to, but we won't do it on Sunday morning. But you know, what are the promises of God to you? Number one, a certain salvation. Right? You have a certain salvation today. And this morning, if you, by faith, will turn from your sin and trust Christ alone, God says for you, you can have eternal life. And that's a promise of God. This morning, you can have the hope of heaven. You can have a certain salvation, not based on your own good works or you meriting some standing with God. Most of you have put your faith and trust in Christ alone. What's the promise for you? Well, see, another one is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where God says, my grace is sufficient. You have a sufficient grace in Christ. God's provided that for you. Sufficient to do all that God would want you to do. He's promised that. You can never say that I just had to respond wrong. I just had to do it my own way, right? Because 1 Corinthians tells us that God will provide in temptation a way of escape. There's sufficient grace for you this morning. It may be tough where you're living. It may be tough doing what you are, but you know on the promise of God that you have a sufficient grace. Well, let me just give you one more. You have an eternal home if you know Christ. You have an eternal home. This world is not our home, is it? We're just, as the song says, passing through. Jesus reminded us in John chapter 14, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for who? For you who are in Christ. And if I go, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Life sometimes just is difficult, isn't it? It just stinks at times, if we're honest. And yet we know that we have in Christ an eternal home. This morning, you can step out. Why don't we? Why don't we tackle those tough tasks? You know, for me, you know, when it comes to talking to somebody, why don't I talk to them? Because I'm afraid. Afraid of what? Afraid of what they might think about me. They might not like me. I might lose something with them. And yet, if I remember the promise of God, I have everything I need in Christ. I'm sufficient in Christ. Well, this morning, we look at a passage like Joshua, and we see him standing on the verge of leading God's people to God's promise in a tough task. And we see that God keeps his promise. We see that God provides strength and courage to do his will when we embrace the promise of God. And God was reminding Joshua of these promises. We see the promise of God is huge here. Know what else we see? Look at verse 5. It says, verse 5, the second half, just as I have been with Moses, Joshua 1, verse 5, just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Look at verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Verse 9. Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble, be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua received the strength and the courage that God provided. Not only as he embraced the promise of God, but he employed the presence of God. He employed God's presence. I mean, Joshua and the people were going to face some big opponents, weren't they? How big were the Hittites? You know, they were big. Right? They were going to a land that was big. And they were going to have to take this land. Their natural reaction, we already saw 40 years earlier, what was their natural reaction? You know, I don't know if we can do it. They were going to face something that was huge. The task that God had put before them was a huge challenge. And yet, we see that God provides courage and strength by his presence. His presence. Because God was with them, Joshua enjoyed the benefits of God's presence. Just look over a couple of chapters, if you would. Look at chapter 3. All right, so what does this mean? The presence of God. God is with them. In a special way, God is showing himself strong in their lives. You know, I would just look at chapter 3 maybe illustratively, starting down to verse 7. And we see what's God doing. God's talking to Joshua. So the Lord spoke to Joshua and he says, this day I'll begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel. Verse 8, you shall moreover command the priest carrying the ark of the covenant, saying, and tells him what to say. So then what's Joshua do in verse 9? He tells him. Because God's with Joshua, he has a relationship with God where God is directing him. He is counseling him. He is showing him what to do. Joshua says, I don't know what to do. God says, here's what you do. And here's where you go. And this morning, understand that was a means of God's, if we could say it this way, God's grace to Joshua that his presence was there because God was with him. And that special sense of that relational direction, Joshua enjoyed the counsel of God, the power of God. In chapter 3, he tells him what to do. And then what does God do in chapter 3? You know, if you read down the end of the chapter, what's God do? He parts the Jordan, right? And they walk across on dry ground. And who did that? God did it. Because God keeps his promise. And God was there in his presence with these people to do God's will. Well, again, this morning, it's not a land. It's not a place. It's not a river. But this morning, I think this passage helps us to see that if we are people who sense God's will to undertake a task for his glory, that God provides for us the grace and strength that we need. He provides it by giving us his promise. He provides it by giving us his presence. His presence. He's with us. Our job is to employ or to, by his grace and for his glory, take that presence to our advantage so that we might accomplish his will. I grew up in the 1970s in Oakland County. Walled Lake, anyone? Walled Lake? That's where I grew up, Walled Lake. Back before 12 Oaks Mall and even McDonald's. I remember when McDonald's came to town. It was the biggest thing when McDonald's came to Walled Lake. But enough of that. Anyway, in the 1970s, I grew up in Oakland County. What was big in the big news headlines in the 1970s? Two things in Oakland County. Number one, Jimmy Hoffa. We still don't know where he is. He's still in the headlines today. Secondly, anyone? Oakland County child killer. 1970s. I was in my childhood years. I can remember laying in bed in our house or on Meadow Drive early in the morning. And you know sometimes how you see shadows across the room with the shades, whatever? I can remember. I can still feel the terror at times I would have thinking that somehow that person had somehow got into our home and would harm us, would harm me. But my dad and mom, my dad always got up at like 5:30 to go to work. And my door was shut. And underneath the door, you know how you got that little thing there? And I could see the light from the kitchen on when my mom and dad got up. And then I knew I was safe. Because mom and dad, they'd take care of them if you got in the house. But until that light came on, I can remember being afraid. I was always safe, but I just didn't sense it until that light came on. This morning, as we consider a passage like this, God is saying to Joshua, listen, I'm omnipresent. I'm everywhere. But you're my man. These are my people. And I'll be with you to accomplish my will. So employ my presence. Receive my instruction. Listen to my words. And obey what I say as I'm with you. This morning, how about you? The presence of God in your life, does it make a difference? Well, he's omnipresent, obviously. But as a father with his child, does his presence in your life make a difference? Hold your finger here and go to the Philippians, if you would, with me. Because one of the ways that I think the Lord is helping me to learn and practice his presence is found in Philippians chapter 4. This is like, probably for some of you, like, this is duh. You learned this years ago. But this is what the Lord is helping me to learn today about the presence of the Lord. Philippians chapter 4. Hopefully, held your finger and Joshua will go back to it. But Philippians 4. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'll say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. What's the next verse or next part? The Lord is near. The Lord is near. So what? So be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know what difference the presence of God in our lives as our Father ought to make for us? That we talk to Him. We ask Him. It says verse 5, the Lord is near, therefore let your requests be made known to God. So as you seek to do God's will this week, whether it's at home, living out your Christian life as a Christian man or Christian woman, a Christian child in your home, whether it's showing up to work and trying by God's grace and for God's glory to be an example of what Christ would be like if He were right there in your shoes. Maybe it's here in church, in our assembly this week, that God's put a role, a responsibility, an opportunity to do His will on your heart. It's an undertaking. Understand this, that God is with you. So talk to Him. Ask Him to help you. God, I can't do it. Would you please, for your glory and by your grace, hear and answer my request? The presence of God in our lives ought to make the difference. For Joshua, it was a certain promise of God. Embrace the promise of God. Number two, employ the presence of God. So let's go back to Joshua chapter 1. And I think the center of his instruction is back in Joshua 1. Look, if you will, at verses 7 and 8. 7 and 8. Having assured him of his promise and encouraged him with his presence. Verses 7 and 8 of Joshua 1 says, only be strong and very courageous. And you see that word strong and courageous come back over and over again. And I think this passage helps us see how God gives us that strength and courage. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left, that you may have success in whatever you do. Again, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you'll meditate on it day and night so that you'll do it. My friend, this morning, the third way that God gives courage, the third way that God gives strength to us is as we follow His prescription, as we follow His prescription, His truth, what He's given to us. He gives strength and courage as we follow His word. What was it for Moses? Whoa, that'll wake us up. What was it for Moses that God had given him as far as his word? Moses gave his law through Moses. And for Joshua, that's what he was to meditate on, wasn't it? I mean, that's what it says in verse 7. It says, be careful to do according to all the law. So Joshua had received the law. And Joshua was to study the law, to learn the law, and to meditate on it. Well, for you and I this morning, understand we have much more than just the law, don't we? We've got God's completed word. Okay? But for Moses, it was the law. It was those first five books. And God says, follow my prescription. Really, the book of Joshua is all about Joshua and the people doing the law in the promised land. It's like Moses died, and Joshua takes up the mantle and says, all right, now let's take the law and let's do it in the land that God had promised us. And for Joshua, it was all about God's law. You know, there's two things that we see in verses 7 and 8 about the law, about God's word that Joshua is to do. And what are they? Look at verse 8. This book of law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it. Meditate on it. Verse 7 says, be careful to do. There's meditation and there's a center on obedience. And that's what God was telling Joshua to do. He was to obey God's law. Meditate. That's interesting. The word there is an idea of mutter, to mutter. You ever seen the guy walking around just kind of muttering about this, muttering about that, and thinking about this? And you know, you kind of like, don't mess with that guy, right? You don't know what's going to happen. Because he's just muttering. Joshua was to mutter or to keep rehearsing God's law. And that's what God expected him to do. He is to do what God says. See, it's not good enough just to know. Not just to know, it's to do. This morning, I fear sometimes in my own life, and I'm just sharing with you the fear of my life, is that sometimes we're around so much truth. We hear truth and we hear truth. And as we minister to others, we hear truth. But it's not just hearing truth, it's doing truth. It's that it's right on our lips and we put it into practice with every part of our life. How was Joshua to have success? You know, how was success defined for Joshua as he goes into the land? Is it the size of the condo he builds in the land? You know? Is it the, you know, whatever they set up in the land? What they set up, they have a baseball league and a team there in the land, and you know, their favorite team, and they had all these things there. Is that success for Joshua in the land? Success is what? Hearing and doing God's word. That's it. Well, you know, we think about how this applies in our lives, and we don't have a lack of people screaming in our ear what success is, do we? I mean, just turn on your television, turn on music, turn on your computer, just watch as you drive down the street, and everybody is screaming, success is what? It's bigger. It's more. It's having, how many friends do you have on Facebook, right? I have this many friends. How many followers do you have on Twitter? Well, I got this. You know, I don't know. How do you define success? The world screams how to define success. And yet God tells us what success is here. And what is it in Joshua 1? Success is hearing and doing God's word in every area of my life. You know what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4? Verse 2, he says, you know what success for me is? Just count me as a steward. Just count me as a servant. And success as a servant is what? Faithfulness. That's it. Help me, God, to be faithful. That's success. Faithful to whom? To God. Faithful to what? His word. In every area of my life. God has given us His sufficient word. And many of you know what it says in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. It says that God has given us His word, and all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God, or can we say it this way, the person of God who is trying to do His will. Obviously, 2 Timothy written to Timothy leading the church there. Okay, but if we could say by application to us, God's word is given for doctrine, for correction, for instruction, for training righteousness, that the man of God, the person of God trying to do His work is what? Is adequate, completely furnished for every good work. You know what? Success is for you and me, as we do God's will, it's just do it God's way. And that's the challenge. Every day we look at God's word and we say, God, what does your word say about this? What does God's word say about being a husband, being a father? Do you know? What does God's word say about being a wife or a mother? Being a church member. What's a faithful church member look like? Could you take from God's word and show me what God says about a faithful church member? What does a worker look like in the marketplace who wants to be faithful to God and successful with God's prescription? What does God's word say? If we don't know, what can we do? We can study it. Just as God commanded Joshua as he led the people of his day, that he should be careful to learn and not turn from God's word. So this morning, God would say to us, if you want courage, if you need spiritual strength, I'll give it to you. But I'm not just going to pour it into your life without your participation. I expect you to have a part in this. And the part that we have is by His grace and for His glory, we embrace the promise of God. Whatever God's promise is in His Word for us today, we embrace His promise. We employ His presence. We know that He's right there with us. We'll trust in Him. He'll never forsake us. We talk to Him. And we follow, thirdly, His prescription. He has given us His Word. He has given us the truth that we need, which is adequate for every issue of our life. And in that way, my friend, God cultivates spiritual strength and courage in our lives as we do His will. So that's the lesson today. Do you need strength? Do you need courage? Certainly Joshua faced it in his day, and God keeps His promise. You know what I'm glad for this morning? I'm glad that we can look at the end of the story of Joshua. And let's take our scriptures and look to Joshua 24. Because Joshua gathers the people together in Joshua 24. And he boils it down to where the people need to make a choice. And this morning I want us to look at what he does. And in this way conclude our time together. Starting at verse 1, Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel. And he called them all together. Verse 2, Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. And then he recounts what God says in verse 2 and verse 3. And through this chapter, he recounts everything that God has done. Verse 3, then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him to the land of Canaan, multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob. And he goes on and talks about all the things that God has done. If you skip down then to verse 13, it says, I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities which you had not built. And you have lived in them, and you are eating of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which are your fathers served, which were on the river, the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you know, this morning it really comes down to a choice. This morning, understand, we look at this passage and we see that God keeps His promises. God's grace is available for you this morning. But God demands a choice from you. This morning, some of you have come and you're trying to merit your own way to heaven, trying to do good things and in some way earn a standing with God. And God says, you can never earn enough favor with me. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We have turned our own way. And because we've turned our own way, that way deserves eternal punishment in a terrible place called hell. Left for ourselves, we would have to bear that. But Jesus came, lived a perfect life. And in His perfect life, He is able to be a substitute for you and for me. He kept God's law and faced God's wrath on the cross, not for His own sin, but when Christ died on the cross, He died taking the punishment that you and I deserve. And when He was resurrected on that third day, the Father put His stamp of approval on Christ's payment. And now that payment is available to you today. But you must choose. You must turn from your sin and trust Christ this morning. As Joshua says, you must choose. I say to you, you must choose. Will you turn from your sin and trust Christ alone for your salvation? In Him you can have eternal life. Many of you have put your faith and trust in Christ alone. You have trusted Him for your salvation. You're not resting on your own righteousness. It's Christ's credited righteousness for you. Well, it doesn't end there for you. As you receive Christ, so walk in Him. This morning, are you seeking to do His will? You'll never be able to do it in your own strength. We can't, in our own strength, do His will. But as He gives us strength and courage, we can do His will. So this morning, will you trust His promise? Will you employ His presence? Will you follow His prescription, His word? Will you seek to obey Him in every area of your life? And that's how you can be successful. You may not be the smartest. You may not be the brightest. You may not have the most friends. But you can be successful because you're being faithful by His grace and for His glory to His word. You're seeking to trust Him and obey Him with all of your heart. And that is the pathway to strength and courage to do God's will. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to You this morning and we are weak people. Father, left to our own way, we deserve Your wrath. And yet in Christ we have a standing in Him that we now enjoy a relationship with You. We who know Christ are trusting Him alone. Help us to walk in courage and strength. Help us to do Your will, Lord, not in ourselves, but as we trust You and follow Your word. Give us strength in little ways and big ways to hear and obey You, we pray. And if there's any here today who have never come to know Christ, I pray today that they would turn from their sin right now and trust Christ alone. And Father, may You do that work of grace for Your glory, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.